Hello. And please accept my heartfelt greetings. It was 15 years ago I first picked up a book on aging, and I could not imagine then that its influence would bring me here at Beacon Unitarian Church to speak on this human life, our human unique experience through the lens of aging. It is an honor, really, to be here. It was at the age of 50, when working at a recycling firm as plant supervisor, privileged to work alongside adults with psychiatric and emotional disabilities, that a book came down a sorting line. The title was From Aging to Saging. A profound vision of growing older. The book was a proof copy, along with hundreds of other books dropped off by Black Bonds for recycling. I snatched up the book and took it home and didn't read it for 10 years. Which probably says something about the human experience of aging. Our body knows how to die, and yet we struggle with accepting this inside information that is at work within us. The book is authored by Reb Zelman, for short, a preeminent rabbi, teacher, and professor who at one time taught at Manitoba, in Manitoba. When he turned 60, he looked around and noticed a scarcity of elder sages who could mentor him further along the aging journey. He then decided to go on an extended 40-day retreat. When he came back from this time alone, he had a spiritual eldering model. This model, simplified, consists of five continuums. Number one is awakening, the willingness to awaken to aging, intentional awareness, being conscious. Number two is life review. This entails harvesting one's unique life for wisdom ripened by experience, appreciating those who nurtured us along the way, discovering patterns, some perhaps still operative that clearly doesn't serve us well. And then there is the surfacing of what is called unfinished business. This brings us to the third component of the saging model that Reb envisioned, life repair. It is the promise of hindsight that one can go back and reframe difficult periods and acquire a greater semblance of healing and peace. One person said, "All I know is the past is never past." Or as Tagore put it, "Every difficulty slurred over will be a ghost to disturb your repose later on." Life repair is about the crucial and what I would call the royal work of self-forgiveness. I like how Terence Reel put it when talking about holding on to grudges. Whatever is unresolved always migrates downstairs to the basement and lifts weights. The centrality of forgiveness work is summed up very well by D. Patrick Miller in a volume entitled A Little Book of Forgiveness, Challenges and Meditations for Anyone with Something to Forgive, where he says, "To find your missing creativity, release a little of your attachment to the worst injury ever done to you. Grieve the deadness that you are letting go and that you have no longer regarded as a trophy wound. Then celebrate the opening of a door through which your childlike nature can come back to you, laughing, asking the simplest questions, and clearing your vision." He continues, In a time when the recollection and cataloging of abuses done to people has become a virtual industry, we have to be careful about proclaiming the specialness of our particular wounds. The end point of remembering exactly how we have been damaged is to realize that we are all share the deep common wound of humanity being born into vulnerable bodies in a mysterious and dangerous world. Our particular wounds have a lot to do with who we are, and that history is important to understand. But learning to forgive all our wounds, regardless of their history, is what will make us who we are becoming. An unimagined creativity blossoms in every space within the heart from which pain has been released. The fourth component of the elderhood sage model is life completion. It is about the willingness to cozy up to our transitoriness and make it a daily companion. Transitoriness is that positive and creative response to life's brevity. Life completion does involve the practical work of forethought given to the end of life preparations, planning your funeral, making estate wills, especially an ethical will that passes on to loved ones what it is we value about life, what principles and convictions we cherish that clears the way to love life and see good days, something that can live on in our grandchildren and or in dear ones. The intent of transitory work is to ignite the life, the love for life that emanates back when our end is kept in mind. This arc of aliveness is captured in Mary Oliver's poem, When Death Comes, where she says, "When death comes, like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut, when death comes like the measle pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering what it is going to be like, that cottage of darkness. And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy and a singular, and each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending as all music does toward silence, and each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement, and I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. And when it's over, I don't want to wonder if I made my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end simply having visited this world." By Mary Oliver, an ode to transitoriness. The fifth continuum of the Elder Sage model is legacy, not only leaving a legacy, but also leading a legacy now. It is the magical kind of legacy one can lead while still living. It was 5 years ago in my 60th year of life experience, I earnestly, in my unique way, explored aging. I read the book and decided to participate in a one-year saging internship program under the supervision of the Saging Guild, an outgrowth of Reb Zelman's work. I was assigned a mentor, a supervisor, and completed hours of group facilitation work covering the five components of the Elder Sage model. As I now look back at the 15 years since I picked up this book, the last five in particular, life was essentially trying to position me to get closer to the human side of my own aging. For me, it was a book. For another, it could be an illness or another, a relationship trial, where a kind of catalyst opens the way to a midlife shift where one is now focused more intently on meaning, resolving, awakening a sense of inwardness, and the need for quiet. If I can distill my aging experience in recent years, factoring in all the readings I've done, groups I've facilitated, training, the core truth about aging, I now share that it is a journey of descent, a downward movement, and it is not victimhood. Aging is the descent that promises that the ascent of new beginnings, where the child comes to life, play, and freedom electrifies that unique human experience. Blaise Pascal said, "We know truth, not only by reason, but also by the heart." Aging is not for the faint of heart. It takes full heart to enter aging wisely. Taking heart is the Latin root for the word courage. To be courageous is to take heart, the migration from the heart, from the head, to the heart. That is a descent movement. The omnicompetent warrior who wants to do battle out there is ill-equipped for descent work. Life review is a descent work, much like life repair and life completion work. It is a different kind of warrior who engages descent work. The heroic, courageous ones are those who show up with their own vulnerable self. Their vulnerable self. That is their greatest gift, and that is their greatest power. The strategic mind, the calculating mind, wants to go sideways, directing the life into busy living. Maybe extreme living, or getting spiritual, or getting religious. Remember the 10 years of not reading the book? Maybe busy living. How are we for time? Okay. To push this further, we're almost done. Descent work is about going the depths, going the distance to gain your freedom. Aging is not about settling into a final abyss. Mystic Paul, in talking about Jesus, in many ways a sage, said this particular paradoxical statement about him, that he descended into hell in order to set the captives free. I remember having a discussion with a wise crone where she said, "You know, Charles, the word hell can be a derivation from the word helling, which is a descriptive term for herding cattle into a fenced-in holding area, a pretty good metaphor for people where they are allowing their lives to essentially to be corralled." And so the work of saging or of eldering is experiencing the work of descent, learning the geography of the heart and the soul so that one can be set free and be a mentor elder to others who want to make the journey. Some final thoughts. From my own experience with aging, this work of descent and ascent starts with creating some dream space. Some dream space. Meditation. Dream space. Moving towards some form of quiet or silence in our lives. I have read this and that about establishing a discipline of solitude. And what I did was in the early morning, I simply grabbed a chair and sat down on our open veranda deck for 30 minutes and just looked at the trees and the clouds and listened to the birds. And I didn't worry about, am I doing it right? I've been doing this for recent years, and one day in the summer a couple of years back, my granddaughter Sadie, she's now 6, Ruthie and I lived next door to the grandkids, as was mentioned, Sadie climbed up and settled into my chair on the veranda and said, "Granddad, when you sit here, do you look at everything?" And I said, "I see all I can see. I like looking at the leaves blowing in the wind, and I think they are applauding me and telling me that I am enough." A few weeks later, Ruth was with the 3 grandkids outside, and she reported that Kylie, the youngest, sat in my chair, and she got all quiet. And they got quiet and watched her, and she looked around and finally said, "Today is a good day." Kylie was age 3. I'll leave you with some thoughts on meeting ourselves alone and conclude with a blessing. Donna Markova, in her book, "I Will Not Die an Unlived Life," shared these words on establishing some form of quiet refuge in our lives. The thoughts are fully aware that we live in a production consumption society that has no qualms about corralling or flattening all of existence down to commodity time. She wrote, "So many of us are afraid of meeting ourselves alone without distractions. I come to this refuge because it is a safe place in which to tell myself the truth about what I feel. I am groping to understand what it might mean to truly love my life, to find out who I am beyond the economic necessities of being a mind for hire. I want to stop running from my own tiredness, the fear that if I am not accomplishing something, I will disappear." She continues, "What would it be like to give myself my own undivided attention? Put another way, who am I when I am no longer doing, no longer productive, no longer indispensable to so many others? But when you have the courage to shape your life from the essence of who you are, you ignite and you become truly alive." These are the words of Donna Markova. Finding a refuge goes a long way to forming a courageous friendship with what lies around the corner. And now I leave you with a blessing. A blessing for aging, and this is by John O'Donohue.